The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. John, you had a great weekend. You were down here working, right? Both days. There you go. And here we go again. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. It's the 19th of August, 2019. Listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Of course, KVOI.com as well. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. We have a huge stack of stuff to talk about on today's Monday political face-off with Bob Westerman, former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Bob, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me in.
And my friend, Jeff Rogers, the well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, hi.
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, the Monday political face-off, we are so proud of our sponsor, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Now through Saturday, September 27th, Moe's Gallery is showing and selling the Buckmaster Collection of beautiful old prints and maps. There's some really nice material here, all of it at least 100 years old, some of it a lot more, like 150 years old, from around the world. 24 pieces, reasonably priced, all items under $300. Here's the good news. 100% of the proceeds, my portion of the sale, goes to the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. We've had some great networking through Facebook. We had, well over 100 likes on my Facebook page, and a lot of people were sharing this, trying to get the word out to sample the collection. Go to Moe's Facebook page, and best of all, why not just drop by, take a look at what's available? They're located at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. Bob, how was your weekend? It was a little bit sad because of your horse.
Yeah, I had to put him down.
That was really, when I read that on Facebook, the horse was over 20 years old.
Yeah, the thing is, I had him for a long time. I rode him. I had him over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I rode with him and spent miles and hours on him. And became kind of a good friend of mine. You know, we just go out and share the time with our horse. I'm really going to miss that.
How do you know when it's time to put down an animal? Now, a horse. I mean, it's hard when you have a dog or a cat when you come to that conclusion, but what about a horse?
It's not much different. It's quality of life. And in this case, Dewey couldn't hardly walk over to get food because his back was so far out of whack. And when he lay down, he had a struggle to get back up. So at this point, you know, putting him down was the right thing to do. Keeping him alive would be more for me, you know. And and I did drag it out, but I finally worked up the nerve to put him
Jeff,
down.
Jeff, you've had experience in that area?
Oh, yeah. I've had enough horses that I've probably put down on at least five, maybe six in my lifetime. So, but I've owned, you know, a dozen or more horses. So
tough thing to do.
It is a tough thing to do. It's
how
it's really
old are horses? What's their, you know,
the last two I've had to put down. One was 27 and one was 28.
Wow.
They just both, they, you know, typically if you don't have bone issues or some other kind of ailment, typically they just start getting colicky, and you wake up in the middle of the night and they're have a twisted gut, and you call the vet, and the vet says, no, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And that happens more often than we care to admit. But right now I've got, you know, one who's 8 and one who's 14.
Oh, so young guys.
They're still youngsters, so hopefully without any other kind of disease or anything, they've got a long life ahead of them.
All right, let's plow into our topics. This decision came down after we were off the air on the Buckmaster Show with our Friday roundtable. Otherwise, we would have talked about it, but it was kind of early afternoon, mid-afternoon. The judge made his decision, Jeff and Bob, on that lawsuit, which was brought forward by basically the Pima County Republican Party, challenging the legality of Tucson's Sanctuary City Initiative. The judge dismissed it, allowing city voters to decide the matter at the polls in November. Is this, gentlemen, one of the most important votes in the city of Tucson in decades? Bob Westerman.
It has far-reaching implications, and I don't think the voters, hopefully, they don't understand that, but I don't think they do. This can impact Tucson for a long time, economically, and in so many other areas.
Jeff?
Well, I wrote one of the ballot arguments against it, paid the $240 fee to put that on there. The mayor has written one. Some of the city council members have. This is something that pretty much the Democrats and Republicans mostly agree on. There are some Democrats who are pushing this initiative, but it could have some devastating effects on the city of Tucson. It will lead to loss of state of shared revenue from the state. It could lead to other consequences. The state legislature might pass laws that are have deleterious effects on Tucson. It would cause us to lose various law enforcement grants that we use. As I indicated in my argument, one of the things is that the Department of Homeland Security, it forbids us, local police, from cooperating with federal agencies. And Homeland Security initiates most of the child porn and child sex trafficking cases. Those cases are later then followed up by local law enforcement and prosecuted. But the beginnings of those cases are usually initiated with Homeland Security. And that would have a devastating effect on those. There are just so many foreseen consequences that we know are going to happen that will have a bad effect on Tucson. But there are also, I'm guessing, some unforeseen consequences that we might encounter as well. So I hope they appeal this ruling. The judge is following the case law as it is currently. The charter cities should be given deference in how they run their elections and the number of signatures required to put initiatives on the ballot. But this new Supreme Court, which is fairly well stacked by Ducey with seven, pretty much six, he's appointed six of the seven justices, they've shown less deference to charter cities in some of their more recent decisions. So if they've appealed this, and I don't know whether they have.
I think appeal is certainly in the strong possibility.
I think it's worthwhile. And if they have appealed it, then it gets a very rapid hearing.
All right, and
the thing's 8 pages long, by the way. And if there's anything voters should do, any kind of initiative, they should read this initiative.
And for all you Sanctuary City fans, yes, we will be hearing from the people who are very much in favor of this. That is booked for the top of the show, Tuesday, September the 10th. Let's move on. How does Trump, Bob Westerman, how does the president can he afford a recession? That would really hurt, wouldn't it?
I think anybody running for president during a recession has got a problem. There's no doubt about it. And Trump certainly would not like to run have a recession on when he's running for president. Timing is going to be a big deal here because, it takes 2 quarters of negative growth to even be in a recession. There's not that much time between now and the time he's going to go up for election, so I don't even know if that could happen or not. The good situation right now is we are in a strong economy. We have very good numbers to talk about. The issue is there are some flags out there that would indicate we have a recession that might be coming our way. Isn't there yet. I think the Democrats would like to talk about these flags and these things, saying the recession is going to happen because of all these wonderful things. But in reality, until it happens, it doesn't happen. And so as long as Trump can keep the economy going strong, as long as the numbers are looking good, it's not going to affect his election. As a matter of fact, it should help his election.
What do you think, Jeff Rogers?
Well, right now, the American consumer is driving the world economy. The economy of Europe, China, Japan, Korea, all of these economies are slowing. In fact, Germany had negative growth in the second quarter already. If they have another quarter of negative growth, they will officially be in a recession. England is facing this hard Brexit date coming up here this
October
fall.
31st, yeah. Halloween.
Yep. there was a report that was leaked out of a government report this weekend that talked about some of the catastrophic things that could happen on a hard Brexit. And so that could throw that economy, and it's second only to Germany in the size of its economy in Europe. So I think there are some storm clouds on the horizon. And one of the things that we've seen is this inverted bond yield curve, which is giving economists a lot of grief right now, because every recession that we have seen has shown an inversion in the bond yield curve between the 2-year treasuries and the 10-year treasuries, and that is where the 10-year treasury has a yield that is far less than the 2-year treasury.
And that happened last week.
It did happen last week. Now, every time we've had an inverted yield curve has not led to a recession, but every recession has been preceded by an inverted bond yield curve. So I think that's giving people pause, as well as many other factors. I read a study this past weekend that showed train traffic carrying goods across America has declined rather dramatically, and that's another kind of leading indicator of a potential recession. And I think all of these things will hurt Donald Trump, because after all, he's probably one of the most unpopular presidents in history. Since when we go back to the beginning of polling data, we've never seen a president who never got above 50% in approval rating until Donald Trump. And so the economy is the one big thing that he can point to and say, you know, if he's honest about it, which he of course is never honest, he can say, I continued the improving economy from Obama. But when he instead, he likes to say his economy is even better than Obama's, which it's not.
All right, Bob Westerman, hold your thought, okay? Let's take our break right here. And the one thing, Bob and Jeff, that it appears Trump does have is passion among his supporters, right, Bob?
And absolutely, no doubt about that.
We will just watch a rally.
Yeah, and we will address that after we take the break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. Also, our support comes from our friends up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Brought in some Mona's Danish Kringle to the staff. Jeff, I know you love Mona's. Brought one in, Kringle, all nicely sliced up for the staff. That thing went in record time.
I'm not surprised. It's delicious.
Bob, it's a shame you missed it.
Okay.
I know you love bakery goods.
I try to stay away from the carbs, but I love bakery goods.
Very good. Mona's Danish Bakery is the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Jeff, and I know you've had some really memorable breakfasts since they launched the breakfast 6:30 each morning a couple of months ago, and you've been up there and had some memorable breakfast.
I love their hash browns. Best hash browns in Tucson.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but about 24 partners who make our show possible. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, now showing the Buckmaster Collection. Go by, check out Moe's at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, next to Copenhagen. Before the break, I brought up the issue of Trump and passion. Bob Westerman, he seems to trump the Democrats when it comes to that, doesn't he?
Yeah, his supporters are very,
That 30 to 35%,
it's still there, and it's going to be there. It's going to be there for the next election. That's not going to change. He's got, and we talked about the economy. I think, you know, as long as customer and 68% of the GDP is customer spending, as long as that stays high, and right now they've got the highest percentage of disposable income in a long time, those things would have to change. All these other things are going to play into it. But that has to change. And the question is that going to change between now and the time the election takes place? You know, there's not a, even the economists will agree that it's not a very good chance that's going to happen.
Jeff Rogers, you posted before the show today on your Facebook page an article, and for Democrats, it's a scary read. I'll tell you, it's in Rolling Stone, and it's about this issue that the passion that Trump brings to this campaign. And it kind of talks about a rally, I think they were reporting Cincinnati, and it's very, again, for Democrats, it's kind of be an eye-opener.
Yeah, it really is. We can't discount the enthusiasm of this 35 to 42% of the American population that does back Trump. I believe they're going to show up on Election Day, and this is going to be all about turnout. And if the Democrats are foolish enough to nominate somebody who's got a policy of forgiveness of all student loans and a policy of some of the other policies that they're dangling out there, then Trump may well pull this off again. Concerned about the some of the most lefty Democrats who want to take away people's private insurance. That is just a non-starter.
Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are the things that the Democrats have got to get a handle on and get that message across. Right now, the message is anything but that, and it's being spoken by all the other Democrats, you know, at the same time. And finding that right Democrat candidate, Jeff, is going to be the big deal. And you talk about enthusiasm. Remember back during the time with Clinton and Sanders, Sanders had a huge, following. And when he left, that a lot of the Sanders voters said, "I'm not going to vote for Clinton."
Yeah, he almost had that same he had the passion element, kind of that Trump does on the Republican side, on the Democratic side, Bernie.
He
and
did.
I don't know if that's still there. I don't think it's still there.
I think he shares it.
And I think what's happened is that a lot of the Bernie voters have switched over to Elizabeth, and that's where I think they're going to end up. But he's such a stubborn guy. And such an angry old guy. I don't see him dropping out, even if his share drops below 10%. I think he'll stick around to the very end. end, kind of like he did the last time, although he's bound to have less effect on the final results.
But he'd have a huge effect if he said, well, I don't like either of the candidates.
He would.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you don't need that many dissuaded voters to flip the
election. If Biden becomes their candidate, those people that are behind Warren and Sanders, they may do the same thing with Clinton. They may say, I'm not going to vote for Biden. He's not in our universe.
Well, I think this year's different because we've seen how frightening Trump has become to the Democrats. And at a recent rally, I forget what it was called, some of the most liberal elements of the party met in a conference. And the most popular phrase was vote blue no matter who.
Oh, okay.
And so I think some of these Sanders people are coming around going, oh, my God, look what we've done here.
We had a similar phrase with Hillary, but and Hillary did scare the hell out of me. But you're right. I mean, it should be interesting to see how this turns out.
Yeah. All right. Let's go now to caller Rick, who has a comment about President Trump. Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
What's on your mind?
Oh, I just was going to say this discussion is kind of humorous to me because I can confidently, with 100% confidence, predict that President Trump is going to mop the floor with the idiots that are his opposition in this next election. It's not even going to be close.
Okay, Rick, thanks for your thoughts. Depending, Jeff Rogers, it all depends, right?
It all depends. If we have one of the more moderate Democratic candidates, it's going to be a very close election, and I think we can beat Trump. And particularly taking back those Midwestern industrial states that we lost the last time. But as I said before, if it's somebody like, that's going to adopt some of these crazy ideas, I think Rick could be right. We could lose.
Jeff, do you think that one of the Democrats, like either Elizabeth or somebody, would move more to the center after winning the primary? You think that's going to happen?
I think they're going to have to. I don't see Bernie Sanders doing it. If he were to be the nominee, which I don't think he will be, I think she could. Warren could probably move a little bit to a more centrist position, but she's locked down into this Medicare for All thing that Bernie supports as well, and I'm telling you that does not poll well with centrist viewers, and I mean it's just not going to poll well. People, I can write the commercials for the Republicans as we sit here today. They want to take away your insurance. Well, about a third of Americans have private insurance.
That would be an easy commercial to write, wouldn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's every time we have debate, we just take little cuts out of debate queue it up.
Absolutely.
For an ad coming up.
All right, let's go to Richard calling us at 790-2040. Hey, Richard.
Enjoying it, Bill. Say, Jeff, this is why we need to nominate Joe Biden, on top of the fact that he's incredibly charismatic and electrifying, which is a joke, of course. But, the thing is, Trump is in trouble this time. There will be no anti-Hillary vote. She still won by 3 million last time on the popular vote. And he continues to damage our economy coast to coast. Over 250 industries are being damaged by him. Right now, Arizona cotton farmers are going broke. Our pecan farmers are in trouble. He's mangling our tomato trade with Mexico. The corruption's off the charts. We can go down the list. The commercials that can be made against Donald Trump are like no other candidate. His negatives are so prominent right now. And sure, 35% of people will always support him.
All right. Jeff,
couldn't agree with you more. I just couldn't agree with you more. I think you're right on all counts. It's I know the Midwestern farmers are in desperate shapes. He's created a little sort of welfare for some of them, and some of these giant corporate farms are basically on corporate welfare right now, but many of the family farms are suffering tremendously in the Midwest.
Yeah, it's interesting that the farmers are pulling support for Trump. Mm-hmm. The same farmers you're talking about, Jeff, that are being injured so hard are polling in favor of Trump, which tells you there's a big concern about the issues that, Jeff, you brought up that they're going to vote against. Certainly these socialistic attitudes of having free education, all these issues, taking away your private medical insurance, those seem to be more important to even the farmers. So those are huge issues that can't be ignored.
What about what Richard brought up about Joe Biden?
Well, I think Joe Biden polls the best of all. In head-to-head polls, he beats Trump by a wider margin than any of the other candidates. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's getting up there. He'll be 78 by the time he would be nominated as president. Yeah. And that's an issue for some people.
But some people say he's so likable. They like him.
I've always loved Joe Biden. he's kind of like your friendly old uncle that you like.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a guy who believes in truth over fact, but he has those times when he kind of comes up with some fun lines,
but could Trump have as much? Could he get as much mileage as he did with Hillary out of Biden?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. I mean, what are you going to say? Lock him up?
Biden's only problem is going to be that there's a whole lot of Democrats are pushing far left into the agenda that's being. As being put forth in all the debates now, and they're not going to support Biden.
I think you'll find that people will fold in line in back of Biden if he's the nominee. As a matter of fact, I think everybody's going to line up behind our nominee, our traditional Democrats, no matter who that nominee is. Are the two difficult ones for me are Warren and Sanders because of their health care issues. Those are the two most worrisome ones that I think that Trump could make hay out of.
All right, guys, got to run. Bob Westerman, thanks for coming, Bob. Good to
see you. Thank you, Bill.
And Jeff Rogers, always a pleasure. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery in Framing. If you get a chance, stop by Moe's, check out what we are offering on the Buckmaster collection of beautiful old maps and prints. 100% of the proceeds on my part of the sale will go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care. So stop by, take a look if you're in the neighborhood. It's the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. We'll be right back on Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk. This portion of our program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Here's the good news. It's cooler. We did a check, kind of their midday temperatures last week while we were on the air. It was like mid-80s. So, you know, it's going to be cooler. The mile-high elevation makes a big difference. And coming up over in Silver City, September the 19th through the 22nd, it's the Gila River Festival, 15th annual. So that's going to be coming up over in Silver City. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is one of two dozen or so. I think we're up to about 28 contributors now to this program. People, I am just so honored that that take the time and participate in our program. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She's committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the highly respected Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes joining us now on the live line. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Always good to talk with you. And I want to begin today with what some people, Dr. Mazes, believe is the most important meal of the day, and that is getting off to a good, healthy start with breakfast. And I think you're going to say it's important for all ages, but why don't we begin, Dr. Mazes, with how about breakfast for kids?
Well, I do think breakfast is an important meal, and I sometimes like to joke that I, except it's not a joke, that I go to sleep thinking about what I'm going to eat for breakfast.
Wow. You are a big proponent
of breakfast. Yes. And there's a nice saying that goes, you should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. Mm. And there's more and more research supporting the value of that kind of eating strategy. So, yes, when we eat a good breakfast, when we feed our children a good breakfast, we're really getting people off to a much better start.
Well, I know it's very busy for moms and dads trying to get the kids off to school, especially this time of year, school back in session. So the mornings can be very hectic. So how do you make time to make sure everybody gets a healthy breakfast?
Absolutely. So that is an important question. And for a lot of people, mornings are busy. So sometimes preparing stuff the evening before can be helpful. And whether that's putting out the bowls and the spoons and the glasses, whether it's making a dish that's going to be ready to go first thing in the morning. So, for example, there's a dish called overnight oats, where you soak oatmeal in milk or regular cow's milk or almond milk, and you could add fruit to that, and you could add nuts to that, and instead of having to cook the oatmeal over a burner, which could take 30 minutes, you have an oatmeal that is prepared by soaking in that liquid overnight and is delicious. And then you could add a little bit of fresh berries or fresh flax seed, or if you don't like your notes soaked, you could add them later. So that would be an example of something that you're really getting ready the evening before.
How about these studies showing that a healthy breakfast does make for healthier kids who will perform better in school?
Yeah, there is some evidence to support that, that they will be able to concentrate better and be more alert. There is some evidence that they miss fewer days of school, that they maintain a healthier body weight overall. So you want kids to have a breakfast as well that's not going to rapidly be metabolized or burned off. So, for example, if you give a child, a Pop-Tart or something like that, something that's a high-carbohydrate food, they're going to eat it, they're going to get a little bit of a blood sugar spike, and then they're going to kind of crash. And they're going to crash right around 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning when they're supposed to be paying attention in their classroom. And so you want a meal that has some protein, some fat, some carbohydrates. So, for example, a much better choice for a child if they liked peanut butter, for example, would be to have a dense kind of whole grain bread with some peanut butter. The fat and the protein in the peanut butter is going to slow the digestion, and they're not going to have that abrupt fall off of their ability to concentrate because their blood sugar has dropped.
All right, let's talk now about breakfast for us, the older folks. I'll tell you about my breakfast, and then you can tell me about yours. Today,
okay.
I had a glass of V8. I like V8. It does have a little bit of sodium in it, and I know you can get kind of the low sodium type, but I prefer the one that has a little bit of sodium, low in calories. Had my oatmeal. I'll say the brand. It's from Whole Foods, and it's very. I like the density of it. Had a banana on there, a little bit of sugar, and I had an apple. And then the tea was a cat's claw tea. Your reaction to my breakfast, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I think you did really well. Oatmeal's a whole grain, so it's going to be digested slowly. It's a healthy kind of carbohydrate. You included two kinds of fruit in your meal, banana and apple, which is going to give you a nice amount of potassium, a little bit of vitamin C, fiber. You therefore made sure that you got some of the five or more fruits and vegetables that are recommended in a day. Sometimes people like to have a little bit of nuts, for example, on their oatmeal because that'll slow the digestion and it'll help you stay satiated longer. So that would be one little tip if you find that you're getting hungry by 11, if you add just a handful of almonds or walnuts or whatever your favorite nut is to that oatmeal, you may stay full just a little bit longer. So I think you made a great choice.
Let's hear what you had for breakfast today.
Well, in the summer, I have to say I'm fond of having yogurt with fruit and nuts, and that's what I had today. I had a goat's milk plain yogurt with watermelon and blueberries, both in season and mm-hmm. delicious, and I put some freshly ground flaxseed, and also I had toasted some walnuts and put that in, and that was my breakfast. It was absolutely delicious. I had a cup of coffee with mine, which was also delicious. And that was my breakfast.
And people say coffee is not as bad as some might say.
Well, the evidence for coffee is actually getting better and better in terms of it being a healthy choice, unless you're one of those people who just it doesn't agree with. So I'm not going to say it's universally healthy, but it appears to help with blood sugar regulation. It reduces the several kinds of cancer. And so overall, I think that coffee deserves its place on our breakfast table.
And I have introduced now the almonds and walnuts, but that is my late afternoon snack. I have introduced that to the diet.
Well, that's a healthy snack. That's terrific. Yeah. And actually, when I was growing up, I was always told, oh, be careful, those nuts are fattening. But now we actually have good science that shows that nuts help people maintain healthy weight. So it's a really great snack to include. The other thing thing that neither of us ate that certainly could be a very healthy breakfast choice would be eggs. Whether you make an omelet or have them sunny side up or hard boiled or frittata, however you like them, eggs, a good source of protein, healthy fat. We used to worry about the cholesterol in the eggs. That is seeming to be much less of an issue, again, unless you're one of those rare people who really reacts. It can be paired, again, with either a little bit of vegetable or fruit. I think it is worth thinking about if you're having a hard time getting your vegetables in, could you have a little breakfast salad? Is there something that, you know, whether it's a little cucumbers or some slices of tomatoes, something that, that you enjoy in the morning as part of your breakfast meal to get those five plus servings of vegetables and fruits in.
In your book about Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child, what about pregnant women and breakfast and avoiding perhaps too much sugar in the morning? Is that important?
Well, you know, think about the word breakfast. You're breaking your fast. And so a little bit of food that will raise your blood sugar can be a good idea, but we don't like straight sugary foods, which, you know, cookies or pastries, because those tend to have you spiral your blood sugar up and then spiral it down. So we like more complex foods that are carbohydrate foods, like a dense whole grain bread or an oatmeal, which is going to have a much more even effect on your blood sugar. And so, yes, in Be Fruitful, I actually have a week-long dietary plan, and I include some recommended breakfasts, and it does have things like steel-cut oatmeal with cinnamon, cardamom, and ginger, which are nice anti-inflammatories. It includes some omega-3 enriched eggs, includes yogurt, so some of the things we've already talked about. But the other thing I wanted to say is there's probably some foods that are worth being really careful about or not eating at all.
Okay.
So one of the be careful foods, I would say, is breakfast cereal, which is funny in a way because, you know, when you walk down the cereal aisle, there's all of these American Heart Association labels suggesting that it's a healthy food. But the reality is a lot of those commercial sugars, I should say commercial sugars, that's what they are. That was a Freudian slip.
There you go.
A lot of those commercial cereals have a lot of sugar in them. In fact, the manufacturers got smart, and they don't list sugar as the first ingredient. They've divided their sugars up, and there are 61 different names for sugar.
My goodness.
That could be on a food label. And some are obvious, like if it says high fructose corn syrup or sucrose, you know that's sugar. But if it says barley malt, did you know that was sugar?
I did not.
Or maltose or dextrose, those are also sugars. Or rice syrup. And so there are all these divvied up sugars, and that means that really, although the first ingredient doesn't say sugar, it is. It's just all sorts of different sugars in that box. And so you want to be very careful. It's also kind of confusing because the manufacturers don't necessarily differentiate between the sugar that naturally occurs, for example, in milk. Milk has a milk sugar in it, lactose, or the sugar that, for example, naturally occurs in fruit, which is healthy for us and is fructose, versus all of these added sugars. So that can be pretty confusing when you're trying to pick your cereal. The other food I'd say you probably should almost never eat, it's hard to say never, your listeners are not going to like me for this one,
all right,
but that's bacon. And bacon is just a processed meat. Processed meat increases your risk of cancer. It is full of nitrates. It is full of sodium and saturated fat, and it is just not a good regular choice for people. So maybe an occasional feast food, but not something you're going to eat all the time.
How about like a turkey bacon? Are there any healthy versions of bacon?
There probably are healthier versions. So you don't want nitrates. You don't want that preservative that is in most bacons and is converted in the body into a compound that can increase your risk of cancer. So pretty reliably, processed meats and foods that have nitrates are those foods that increase the risk of cancer.
All right. We We do need to take the break, but this question Ingrid has called in, it still is on topic. So let's see if we can work it in real quickly. Ingrid, you're with Dr. Mazes.
You said that you had an apple at breakfast. I think I heard you say that.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You had it. Mm-hmm. Is there too much sugar in there?
Good question.
And, I eat grapes. Especially when they're on sale.
Great question. So most physicians, although not all, and most nutritionists, although not all, would say that the sugar that's in fruit is just fine. Whether you're going to eat an apple or grapes or a pear or watermelon, that the fructose that's in those fruits is okay to eat. Fruit has many, many health benefits and has been associated with long, healthy life. And it is also, when you eat a whole apple, there's a lot of fiber in there. So let me also make the distinction that fruit is great. Fruit juice, perhaps not as great, because you're losing the fiber and you're having, like in a cup of apple juice, you may be having five apples, and that starts to be a lot of sugar.
All right, good advice. All right, we're going to take our break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Mazes, and I want to ask her what the difference is between a probiotic and a prebiotic. We're a little bit tight on time, but we'll take the break right here. Be back with Dr. Mazes right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. All your Green Thing needs, all the plants and accessories on their 13-acre site, and that wonderful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, as part of their Zocalo Village. It's greenthingsaz.com for more. We continue now with our discussion with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, it seems that everywhere you look now on the internet are ads for something called prebiotics. I know a little bit about the probiotics, but I'm not so sure I know about prebiotics. What's the difference?
Sure. Well, it's a big difference. Probiotics are actually healthy bacteria. And in our bodies, but especially in our guts, we have lots and lots and lots of bacteria that helps us digest food, and it helps us have a healthy immune system, and it may do all sorts of other strange things like affect our mental health, and just things we never, ever considered. So probiotics are healthy bacteria. For example, the probiotics found in yogurt or in sauerkraut or kimchi, they're healthy bacteria that you're consuming in a food, maybe in a dietary supplement, to help support the healthy bacteria in your gut. Prebiotics are totally different. Prebiotics are actually usually foods that help feed those bacteria. So, for example, pistachios are considered prebiotics. So are onions and garlic and foods like bananas or jicama or leeks. And all of these foods, it turns out, serve as fodder for the bacteria in the gut to keep that healthy microbiome or healthy mix of bacteria in our guts.
So, if you are taking a probiotic supplement, is it wise to supplement with a prebiotic by taking that at the same time? What's the thinking on that?
Well, there's a lot of confusion still about probiotic supplements, and I do want to tell your listeners about a really fabulous website called usprobioticguide.com, usprobioticguide.com, and it basically lists the evidence for the different commercially available probiotics for all sorts of different indications in adult health and pediatric health. And it's really a wonderful resource. So if you do need a probiotic, it gives you some guidance on which one to take. Having said that, we still think that the best strategy is not the pills, it's food. So there's a lot of fermented food, especially in traditional diets, lots of pickled foods, as I mentioned, sauerkraut, yogurt. These all serve as natural food sources of probiotics. And then the prebiotics absolutely can be included in the diet as well. A lot of them are vegetables, some of them are fruits, nuts, and they serve to help build up that healthy gut bacteria.
Well, let me add this and ask you this. We talked about my breakfast this morning. For folks that may have missed it in the first segment, I was talking about oatmeal and apple. I didn't mention yogurt, but it could have been very easy for me. I do have some in the refrigerator. What if I were to have added a yogurt instead of a probiotic pill supplement?
Well, I don't believe that most people need to take a probiotic every day.
Okay.
So yes, adding yogurt as a food would be a good idea. We have evidence, for example, that probiotics can shorten traveler's diarrhea. So if you travel in another country and you are unused to the bacteria that's on the food in that country and you get a little bit of, you know, what we used to call Montezuma's revenge, well, then a probiotic could be very helpful. Sometimes people who have irritable bowel syndrome can be really helped by a probiotic. There are other indications, eczema, for example, but most people don't have to take it every day. So, yes, including foods, fermented foods in the diet every day, not necessarily at every meal, but every day is definitely a good idea.
And folks who have had to take a regimen of antibiotics, what about those people?
absolutely another very valuable time to be taking a probiotic. And in that case, I would recommend a supplement, because when you take an antibiotic, most antibiotics are going to wipe out the healthy mix of bacteria in your gut. And the idea is that probiotic can help restore it.
In the remaining minute, what's going on that our listeners would like to hear about at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the U of A?
Well, we're moving towards having an integrative primary care clinic. So hopefully that'll be happening soon, and I'll have a date for you. But I'm going to be really delighted to have everyone in Tucson know about our new clinic, where if you want to get integrative medicine as your primary care, that's going to be available to you.
All right, Dr. Mazes, we will follow you on your website, victoriamazesmd.com, and also, of course, at Twitter, at vmazes, and people can follow your work also monthly here on our program. Thank you very much. Good session today.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us. She is the contributor on health at the Buckmaster Show. You can read about her bio at buckmastershow.com. We list all of our bios for all of our contributors there on the website. And it's also the place where you got the great archive of all of our shows, got all the podcasts, and on it goes. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition here. Monday already, August 19th, 2019. I am Bill Buckmaster. John Couch, nice job, John, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.